Father, I thank you for Psalm 34, verse 6, where it says, "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Lord, we know that came from the pen of David. Though wealthy, though full of power as king, he saw that he was in need of grace and that he was poor. But he cried out. He wasn't prideful, worrying about what people would think because he was the king. No, he cried out. And just as we sang, Lord, your word says that you heard him. And not only did you hear him, you delivered him from all of his troubles. Father, we stand here today recognizing that you are no respecter of persons. And what you've done for David and for countless others, you will do again for us. Forgive us for not going to you in prayer. Forgive us for trying to fix things in our own strength. Forgive us for calling everyone else before we call on you. But thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your care. Father, we know that the holiday season is a tough season for many of us because it reminds us of our brokenness, our broken promises, our broken families, our broken finances. It reminds us that we live in a broken world where rather than there being joy in the world at this time, there is stress, chaos. We see people called garbage by the President of the United States. Lord, this is supposed to be a time of peace and goodwill towards all men. But I thank you that what you've called us to is beyond the commercialization of this season. Because you've called us to be light and to be salt and to be your hands and your feet, to be living epistles in the midst of a world that needs to see and hear and feel and experience the love of Jesus. But God, before we give it away, would you do something in us? Would you flood our hearts till our cups run over? Would you fill us, especially in those empty places and spaces in our lives as believers? We cry out to you, and we thank you that you hear us and that you deliver us from all our fears. Now, Father, help me preach your word. Help your people hear your word. And help us to go tell it on the mountain. Help us to share it with other people. I pray that the preaching and teaching and the reading of the Bible today would motivate us to want to get into the Bible for ourselves and never wait for Sundays to hear from a preacher, but to spend time with you on a regular basis, reading and meditating on your word for ourselves. For that's when the true breakthroughs occur. We love you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As you're turning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, as we continue in this spirit of prayer, I want you to pray for our elder candidates this coming Wednesday, as our announcements stated. We will have the elder examination and ordination of Dr. Yuri van der Heijden and Brother Clifton Robinson, who will be added to the elder team. And if you've ever been to one of our ordination services, you know that it's a family affair. There will be refreshments there, a lot of encouragement, a lot of love, because we're watching God do a work. When Jesus said, "I'll build my church," he meant that. And he is building his church, and he's adding leaders to the church. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to also ordain two new deacons. But this coming Wednesday, pray for our elder candidates, Clifton and Brother Uri, as they are examined and ordained into the ministry as elders. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. The Bible reads, "Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons." I'm going to read that last portion again. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. So to finish up our series on the ups and downs, let's talk today on the subject of the ups and downs of Mary Magdalene. The ups and downs of Mary Magdalene. My daughter Karis asked me a question the other day that I'm sure many of you have asked, and you may have been asked already in this season. And that is, "Dad, what do you want for Christmas?" And I'm a simple kind of guy. I want the same thing every year. Get me a gift card so I can go buy some comic books or some Nikes. That's pretty much it. And my kids want to spruce it up a little bit. They're like, "Dad, that's kind of boring. You know, what do you want?" I'm like, "Well, don't mess it up and try to get me something that I don't want, don't need, or already got a few of them. Get me a gift card to get comic books or some Nikes." And if Strong Tower were to ask their pastor, "Pastor Chris, what can we get you for Christmas this year? Pastor, what can we get you?" And I would say to you, there are two things you can get me for Christmas. Prayer. I fooled y'all. Y'all thought I was going to say a gift card. No. Number one, prayer. Pray for me. Pray for our family. As our two new candidates come on Wednesday to be examined and ordained, we have chuckled about how the spiritual warfare for them has intensified since they have stepped out of the frying pan and into the fire. And so the enemy has a way of doing what Joe Louis said. Joe Louis, the great boxer, said, "If you kill the head, the body will soon die." So he will pummel people in their head and they would then give up. And so we know that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And the enemy tried, and he did attack Christ based on prophecy from Genesis chapter 3, where Christ would be wounded in his heel as he went to save the men and women of the Adams family, that he suffered for us as he saved us. But we also know that God puts men and women in places of leadership, not only in the home, in the community, but also in the church. And the enemy has that same kind of philosophy to attack the head in hopes that the body would suffer. And so the best thing you can give me and my family is prayer. And I don't say that as a cliche, I mean that. Sister Diane Hancock, during the greeting time this morning or before church, mentioned how she's been praying for me, that the Lord has put me on her mind from time to time. And if the Lord ever puts me or my family on your mind, that's just not so you can think nice thoughts of us. That's for you to pray for us. Amen. So give me prayer for Christmas. But not only that, not only give me prayer, but I'm also going to ask you to give me a testimony. A testimony of how Jesus is changing your life. That encourages pastors. That lets us know that our work is not in vain, because that's why we do this. We want to see people come into an encounter with Jesus, because we believe if you encounter Jesus, you will not be the same. So as Anita said earlier, yes, we want to hear the prayer requests, but we also want to hear the praise reports of what God has done and what God is doing in your life. So come and share a testimony from time to time and let me know that God is transforming your life daily by his love, his grace, and his truth. What a wonderful present that keeps us encouraged. 3 John, verse 4, the aged apostle said to the church, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. As an aged elder, apostle, and pastor, he was calling the people his children. Now, I'm not going to call you my children because I look out here at Brother Allen. He's got the gray afro. He's a little older than I am. So I won't call you my children, but it does make me, my heart flood with joy when I hear that you all are walking with Jesus. You're growing. He's developing you. He's transforming you. So what do I want for Christmas? Prayer and a testimony. So guess what? I'm going to help y'all out and make it a little bit easier for you this year. Lasagna and I have been talking, and we're saying that December 28th, the final Sunday of this year, we're going to have a Strong Tower testimony service for the morning service. Amen? We're going to have a testimony service where you get to testify about something that Jesus did for you in this past year. Now, let's see here. Y'all do know testimony services are dangerous. I don't want to hear about what God is doing for your bunions. I know that's real. He healed my bunion. But try to think through another kind of testimony and recognize that other people want to testify too. All right? Don't make us cancel the testimony service. We want to be encouraged about what Jesus is doing in your life. So think through, pray through a testimony. We'll have mics out here. We won't ask everybody to come up front. We'll have you stand where you are and testify. And there's so many things we can share. But let's try and give him at least one thing this year that the Lord has done. Amen? Well, Jesus Christ changes lives. He changed Mary Magdalene's life. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about it. Some of you are familiar with her story. Some of you are going to be introduced to her today. But the big thing I want you to see is that being changed by Jesus didn't mean that Mary didn't have any ups and downs. Being changed by Jesus didn't mean that everything was going to be perfect on this side of heaven. No, she had her fair share of ups and downs. But listen to me on this. I believe her ups far outweighed her downs. And if I were to pass the mic today, I think you could testify that, man, I've had some ups. I've had some downs. But if you really look at it and you place your life on the scales, you would say, man, my good days have outweighed my bad days, and I won't complain. So what I want us to do today is we're going to talk briefly about her downs. And we're going to spend more time talking about her ups, because truly she had more ups than downs, and you do too. So when you're down in the pits, when you're down in the dumps, begin to think about his mercy towards you. Think about those prayers that he answered for you and get up from that place. Most people overlooked Mary Magdalene in her day. Most people discarded her and thought that she was garbage. Most people would say a woman who was demon-possessed is beyond help and beyond hope. But when Jesus saw her, he saw someone that he loved deeply and dearly, just as he loves everybody. And he saw something that other people didn't see in her, and that is he saw her future. You see, when the Lord looks at us, he knows everything about us. And the good thing about being in Jesus is that every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. And he looked at her, and he did not limit her by that moment in time of her being bound and possessed by 7 demons. But instead, he looked at what he could do for her, what he could give her, and how he could change her life. So here's the main point today. The story of Mary Magdalene proves that Jesus Christ can save, change, and use anyone for his glory. He can save anybody. And the people he saves, he changes. The proof that you've been saved is that you are changing. A lot of people say they're saved, but they haven't been changing. They haven't been transforming and growing towards the image of Jesus. They have this fire insurance profession of faith, but we don't see a lot of fruit in their lives. Now, God is the ultimate fruit inspector, but we all need to check ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. Because just praying a prayer when you were in kindergarten doesn't always mean that you've had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you know him, he will change you and keep changing you and keep changing you, making you more and more like him than you were yesterday, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. But Jesus can save anybody. He can change anybody, and he can use anybody. Has God saved you? Is the Lord your Savior? Are you born again? Or are you religious? Or are you a church goer? Are you somebody who's trying to get on God's good side by doing good works and good deeds? No, the good news of the gospel that we celebrate this season and every season is that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you in your place. Because he never sinned, but we have. And he took our penalty on himself. And then he was buried. And he rose again from the grave on the third day. And if you put your faith in Jesus, not in yourself. You put your faith in Jesus, not in the church, not in water baptism, not in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Baptism, the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. That stuff is great. It has its place. It's just not first place. Jesus is first place. Do you have him? Do you know him? And does he know you? That's the gospel, the good news. He came to save you and change you. And then he'll use you. Just like he's going to use Mary in these passages today that we'll look at. Man, I got a long way to go and a short time to get there, so I'm going to talk real fast like a dude at an auction. Let's look at first the downs of Mary Magdalene. Again, we won't have to spend long time here. Number one, she was possessed with seven demons. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Seven. Not one. Not two demons. Not three demons, not four, not five. Not six, but seven demons. But you do know it could have been a legion of demons. And Jesus would still have the same power and authority to cast them out. So the Bible doesn't tell us how she got those demons, how she yielded herself to that particular world of darkness. We don't know. We don't have to know. But what we know is what's most important is that Jesus delivered her from those demons. And you may not be dealing with seven demons living inside of you. Maybe so. Maybe someone watching is dealing with demonic possession. But I'm here to let you know that there is no power greater than the power of Jesus. There's no name higher than the name of Jesus. There's no authority greater than the authority of Jesus. What is binding you today, whether it is the spirit of gossip or the spirit of legalism, the spirit of alcoholism, the spirit of promiscuity, whatever the spirit, whatever the work of the flesh that may be coming against you, coming against me, there is hope, there is salvation, there is deliverance in the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe I got a couple of witnesses out here who can say that he delivered them from something. He delivered us from something. He is a deliverer who can set you free. He set her free. But another thing about Mary and her downs is that she has been lied on. Anybody ever been lied on before? You see, the Bible never says she was a prostitute. But if you look at most movies made about the life of Jesus, they're going to have Mary playing the role of a prostitute. But the Bible never says she was a prostitute. Not only that, the Bible never says that she was the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7. She was an unnamed woman in Luke chapter 7, meaning that she could represent all women and all men who come to the feet of Jesus, and he's able to forgive us of our sins, which means we can love him much. She represents us all, but that was not Mary Magdalene, because if it was, her name would have been mentioned in the scripture. I don't know what it is about commentators who want to try to make women out to be the worst kind of sinners in the world, and they always want to try to paint women as the adulteress, as the sexually immoral. Not only that, she's not the woman that was caught in adultery in John chapter 8. There are people who believe that kind of stuff. Mary, nowhere does the Bible say that Mary Magdalene was sexually promiscuous. So even if you watch The Passion of the Christ, and they talk about Mary Magdalene and all the soldiers knew who she was, that's a lie. That's not even good art. That is a lie. But there are men who want to make women out to be temptresses all of the time. Another thing, while I'm here, the Bible never says she was Jesus's wife or girlfriend. That's the Da Vinci Code. Trying to place Mary at the Last Supper. They at the table, all of them sitting on one side. That ought to tell you right there that that thing ain't right. When y'all were having Thanksgiving dinner, y'all just weren't sitting on one side of the table. That's that European stuff. We're going to pose on the table. And then they try to say that this one right here was Mary next to Jesus, like his girlfriend or his wife. Y'all don't believe those lies from the pit of hell. I tell you who Jesus' wife was and is. It's us. It's the bride. He paid for us with his blood. We the bride. He didn't have an earthly bride or woman. He didn't need a wife or a woman or a girlfriend while he was here. But people want to try to bring Jesus down to their carnality. Oh, I got to keep moving. Those are just some of the downs about her. She was possessed with 7 demons and old girl been lied on. But let me hit these ups real quick and we're going to shout and go home. She financially supported Jesus' ministry. Mona, I'm coming down the street where you just preached, my sister. She put her money where her mouth was. A lot of us say hallelujah, hallelujah, but we never put our money in the offering baskets or give any money to the Lord online. But we hallelujah all day long. But if our checkbook had to testify about whether or not we know Jesus, checkbook be like, I can't say a mumbling word. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene. Magdalene was the place where she was from. Out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. So they were providing for Jesus from their substance. They had jobs, they had money, and they were giving their money, their substance, to help support Jesus, an itinerant preacher, the one who had no place to lay his head. They were there following him in the throngs of people when Jesus would go here and go there. The women were not only following, but they were putting their money up to provide for his needs. And you know Jesus, he's not going to sit there and eat while his boys don't eat. So whatever he was getting, he was sharing with them. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, because those same guys that those sisters helped feed, those are the same guys that ain't had no time for Mary. But hold on, I got to keep moving. Number 2, she courageously stood at the cross of Jesus. Pastor, why you say courageously? Because all of the other disciples, the apostles, ran when Jesus got arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. All them dudes ran. The one who said, I'll never deny you, denied the Lord 3 times, and he ran. Only one came back, and that was John the apostle. But he ran first now. But guess who was at the cross? John chapter 19, verse 25. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Mother's going to hang with you. And his mother's sisters, auntie, was there. Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. but I don't see Peter. I don't see James. I don't see John. Oh, he came back later. I don't see the guys. Where are the guys? They're running for their lives. Please observe the resiliency of godly women. Godly women will show up. Godly women will remain on post. When everybody else leaves, godly women will stay rooted and booted on you, man. But another thing, she saw where they buried Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took his body down off the cross, wrapped it. And like a lot of our sisters, they looking at it and say, you ain't wrapped that body right. You didn't wrap that body right. They watching, because they're going to come back and wrap it the right way on Sunday morning. But we appreciate you trying to make the bed, but you didn't make it right. I'm coming to clean this thing up. But she saw where he was buried, Mark 15:47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he lay. Number four, she went to the tomb of Jesus early on Sunday morning. John 20:1. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She got up early. Other women got up early from the gospel accounts. But where were the men? Another thing is, she was the first person to hear the risen Jesus speak. John 20:15-16. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And so she heard the resurrected Jesus speak before anyone else spoke. You may not think that's heavy, but if it happened to you, you'd be telling everybody, I heard him talk first. I heard him. Yeah, well, in the book, Moments with the Savior, Ken Geyer writes, in his triumph, Jesus could have paraded through the streets of Jerusalem. He could have knocked on Herod's door. He could have confronted the high priest. But the first person our resurrected Lord appears to is a woman without hope. And the first words he speaks are, why are you crying? What a Savior we serve, or rather, who serves us. For in his hour of greatest triumph, listen to this, church, he doesn't shout his victory from the rooftops. He comes to a woman who grieves, who desperately needs to hear his voice, see his face, and feel his embrace. He shows up and speaks to her, calls her by name. And at that point, she recognized his voice because my sheep know my voice. And she turned around. And then she became the first person to see the risen Jesus. Mark 16:9, we read that he appeared first to Mary, first to a woman who had a past, first to a woman who had to be delivered from 7 demons. God gave this honor and distinction to a woman of seeing him first. I'm gonna say something in a minute. Number 7, she was the first person to touch the risen Jesus. She's the first person to hear him. She's the first person to turn around and see him. And she's the first person to touch him. John 20:17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. So here's the deal. She's coming to the tomb looking to rewrap his body. She's coming to the tomb really hopeless, like, man, we believed he was the one, but I'm still going to treat him with honor, love, and dignity. But she finds out he's resurrected. She hears his voice. She turns around. She sees him. And then she grabs him. And Jesus didn't say, it's worship time. Come grab me now. It's worship time. Come give me honor now. No, her heart was moved. As soon as she saw him, she grabbed him and would not let him go. That's worship. Worship is, you don't need somebody to try to prime the pump and get you to recognize that God is good and God is holy, God is love. No, you coming up in here ready because you know God is good, God is love, God is holy, God is great and greatly to be praised. And you gonna grab him if ain't nobody else grabbing him with you. Because when you're worshiping Jesus, it's like you're with him in a room by yourself anyway. And you're clinging to him and she's holding on to him. But he says, you know what? Not right now though, because I've got to ascend to my Father. You can't hold me down right now. I've got to ascend. But I give her much respect that she worshiped him just like that. Man. And then, number eight, she was the first person to proclaim the risen Jesus. I told y'all I was going somewhere. John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus said to her, he had to have said it because it's in red in my Bible, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. This is why Mary Magdalene has been called the apostle to the apostles. The word apostle literally means one who sent forth. He sends her forth to go tell the good news of his resurrection to the 12, to the 11. Judas is gone. He sends her to tell the good news. And we have people today who have the audacity to say that women do not have the authority or the right to stand behind this desk and proclaim the good news that Jesus is risen on any Sunday morning in any church. There are people like that. There are preachers like that who say that women cannot proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, can I put it in reverse and go back? Here we have Jesus, the Son of God, the head of the church, telling Mary Magdalene to go and tell the good news to the 12 or to the 11. And that was on a Sunday morning. Which Sunday morning is more important? This Sunday morning or that Sunday morning? She can preach on that Sunday morning, but she can't preach in your church on this Sunday morning. You must be out of your mind. You must be a male chauvinist. You must be a sexist. You must read the Bible with a bias towards women and against women. You take one verse from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 about women not being able to teach men, but you reject all of the other passages where women do teach and preach to men. You forget to recognize that in your exegesis, what Paul is saying to Timothy as he's dealing with certain problems in Ephesus with this goddess of Greek goddess called Artemis, that he's telling them, I got a prescription for y'all to deal with the problems in your city and in your church with this goddess that people are worshiping. So here's the prescription for y'all. I don't want the women to take authority over the men in the church. Why? Because that's happening in the shrines of this goddess out here. Don't y'all do that stuff. So that was a prescription for that church in that time. It was not meant to be a prohibition for every woman, for every church, for every season. Because if that's the case, he will contradict things he said in other portions of the scripture. If Jesus didn't send her to go tell the dudes would still be waiting to this day, wondering what's going on. But we got people who will reject the message because of the gender of the messenger. My brother, my sister, you are weak as water with that. May the truth set you free. She was an apostle to the apostle. Oh, I gotta go. Number nine, she was the first to be rejected for proclaiming the risen Jesus. She's going out with the good news. He's risen. He's risen indeed. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. What's wrong with y'all? You're missing your moment. Because you're rejecting the vessel that God is using. And there are men like that to this day, especially men, who will miss the moment because they don't like the messenger who's delivering the message. But I'm so glad God has freed this church from that kind of hypocrisy. And let me go back and say what I said earlier. I put a hanger on it. Mary and the other ladies are shelling out resources so these dudes can eat. But now when she come to tell them the gospel of the resurrected Christ, they don't want to listen. Oh, so I'm good enough to get some money from you, but I ain't good enough to get a word from you. You could take that and do something with that. Oh, I'm good enough to wash your... Anyway, I ain't going... I'm going to leave it alone. I got to get going. Merry Christmas. And finally, she was defended by the risen Jesus. God defended her. As we see Jesus defending women throughout his ministry. So when you follow a pastor or a national leader who talks down and dirty against women made in the image of God, you're not following Jesus. No. We are to give all people honor, value, and dignity, especially our sisters. Bible says in Mark 16:14, that later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he what? Rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Thank God that he's a defender of his people. But let me leave you this conclusion. The story of Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, proves that Jesus Christ can save, change, and use anyone for his glory. If the Williams brothers were here, you know what they would say. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can change anybody. And that was our girl. And the thing is, you don't have to have a degree to tell people about the goodness of Jesus. You don't have to be called to preach or be a pastor to share your testimony of how he met you, how he saved you, how he cleansed you, how he delivered you, how he is transforming you. Tell your story. And watch somebody else say, man, if he can do that for you, he can do that for me. You see, most people would have overlooked Mary Magdalene, and probably the 11 dudes who hung with Jesus would have overlooked her, and they did. But Jesus did not overlook her. Her testimony's not recorded in Scripture, but we see the evidence of her conversion throughout Scripture. She was broken, but Jesus still saw her value. You were broken, but Jesus still saw your value. If I took a $100 bill out of my pocket and I presented it to you, you say, that's a $100 bill. But if I crumbled it up and I put it on the ground, I stepped on it, it's still a $100 bill. It still maintains its value. So even though she went through some things in her past, in the eyes of God, she was still valuable and precious for the blood of Jesus to be poured out on her behalf. And it's the same for you, and it's the same for me. Because somebody may be dealing with the spirit of suicide. The greatest thing to deliver you from that is the love of Jesus that casts out fear. He still delivers people to this day because he sees our value. He loves you. Strong Tower, when I was in elementary school, Edgewood Elementary, right next to my brother's high school, Walbrook High School, right there in, what was that junction? Walbrook Junction, Harold. I would go to elementary school, and back then you had to bring your supplies to school. And one of the supplies we had to buy that Betty had to get for me were crayons. Oh, I can't get a witness here. Crayons. You didn't want to be a student coming to class without your crayons. And they started them out, first it was like 12 of them. Then they went to 20. Then if you had some money, you got 64 of them joints that had the sharpener, y'all ain't with me, built into the the box. You going somewhere with that. But like most kids, we didn't value our crayons. We lose them. The box would be half empty. Crayons not standing up right next to each other. They just lean until they can hit the next one. You didn't take care of your crayons. Lose them. And then they break. They break. And you would discard the broken crayons because, man, who wants to color with a broken crayon? I just want to stop by and leave you with this. Broken crayons still color. They still color. You may not see the value in it, but somebody else sees the value. And Mary Magdalene was broken, but God saw the value in her. And we've been reading about how God has used her throughout the New Testament to testify to the goodness of the risen Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because broken Christians still come. Broken Christians still preach the word. Broken Christians still stand up here and sing and play instruments. Broken Christians still do missions trips. Broken Christians still give their resources to the things of God. We're not perfect, but we're valuable in the eyes of God, and he'll use our brokenness and multiply it for his glory. Broken Christians still dream. Broken Christians still worship. Broken Christians still serve. We still work. We still make a difference, and we are still loved by our God. So what he's done for Mary, he's doing for me, and I hope he's doing for you. And you may say, Pastor, what does God do with Christmas? What does God do with Advent? But for the traditionalists among us, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Mary Magdalene was a sinner. Your pastor was and is a sinner. The power of the incarnation is that when that baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes, it was a picture that one day he would be wrapped in burial clothes, but not for long, because on the third day, he got up from the grave. And although Mary went there to rewrap his body, he was alive and he was well, and he ministered to her. And then he sent out and said, go preach and proclaim. Go tell it on a mountain that I am alive. Oh, that's my Jesus, and I'm so glad he still uses broken crayons in his kingdom. Can all the other broken crayons stand to your feet right now? Oh, you still color? He still uses you and me. It's called grace. My God. Father, we don't have it all together, but you do. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't come here looking for perfect people, because you knew we were grossly and sadly and miserably imperfect. And like Mary, some of us have been influenced by demons, but all of us have been influenced by sin and the brokenness in this world that causes us to be broken people. But thank you, Jesus, that you came looking for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to seek and save the lost. Thank you for Mary's testimony. And thank you for giving us one now. And the book is still being written on each and every one of us. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You're not done yet. You're not done doing miracles. You're not done using us to your honor and to your glory. As long as we have breath, we will praise you and we will let you have your way in our lives. We want the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. But Father, as I close in prayer, there may be someone here who doesn't even have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you like to receive the gift of salvation, a gift that you can't buy, a gift that you can't earn, a gift that you can't work or perform for, a gift that all you can do is receive. My brother, my sister, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. No matter how old or how young you are, if you've never received the gift of eternal life through Jesus, receive the gift today. Say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I believe in you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for proving that you love me by taking my place, dying the death that I should have died, being separated from the Father. You died in my place. Thank you, God. And I believe by faith that after you died, you were buried in a borrowed tomb. And you rose from the dead on the third day. You are alive, and I want you to live in my life. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. With everyone with their heads bowed, and Christians are praying with you and for you. In this moment, if you said, Pastor, I prayed with you. I want to be saved. I want the gift of eternal life. I ask Jesus into my life. I just want to rejoice with the angels in heaven right now. Can you raise your hand so I can see it? If that was you, Pastor, I prayed. The Lord set me up, brought me here today for a divine appointment. I heard the gospel, and I received Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for being able to share the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God one more time. And for the rest of us, Lord, who do know you, you've saved us. You're in the process of changing us and using us. Lord, may we be found to be pliable instruments in your hand. May we not work against you, but help us to work with you. Help us to submit to your spirit. Help us to repent where we need to repent. Forgive us, Lord, of our attitudes, of the things that cause us to be out of step with your spirit. Help us in this season, in this time, to get in step and to stay in step so that you can grow us from the inside out and use us in ways that will blow our minds. Now unto this God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine, and it's according to the power of God that's working in us, to him be all of the glory, all of the majesty, all of the dominion and the power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Can you give him one more praise? And can you give your neighbor one more hug before you leave? If you can't come Wednesday night, pray for us. Have a good evening.